The following teaching is brought to you by Crosspoint Church. For sermon notes and other resources, visit gotocrosspoint.com.
It's time to listen. No, really, listen. No, did I stutter? Listen. Listen up. We're glad that we have our kids in here today, kindergartners to fifth graders, students that are here today. There are, for those of you that are really, really young, this is not for parents or for middle school, high school, but for elementary age kids, there's activity boards in the back there. If you guys want to get some of those for your kids, just to keep them focused on what we're doing today, feel free to get up and do that at any point. I got a bunch of verses we're going to read today, and here's how we're going to do that. Because we're here to encourage a bunch of you today, every single one of you, to consider partnering with children over in Guatemala to sponsor them on a monthly basis. We'll talk more about that in just a second. And usually when you do things like this, we bring up really sophisticated marketing techniques to play heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching videos of children to inspire you, to twist your arms, to manipulate you with guilt and shame to do this. We're not doing any of that today. The pictures you're going to see these children up here are not children with these awful, horrifying kinds of stuff, even though a lot of them are stuck in those kind of things. What we're going to do today is let the Word of God speak, which is living and active. We figure God is better at marketing this to us than all of our sophisticated stuff that we want to do. So I've got some students who I've talked to about jumping up here to help me. So students that I talked to about helping out here today, you're going to come help read these verses with me. So it's not just me going on and on and on and on about this. Awesome. Evelyn's going to start. Evelyn's going to read this first one here, Deuteronomy 15.
Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be something in the land of who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor.
This is Olivia. You're going to read this one and this one, the two Psalms ones. Can you do that?
Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights to the oppressed and the...
That's okay, destitute.
Rescue the poor and helpless. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies.
Travis, read the Proverbs ones, both the Proverbs ones for us.
Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. The godly care about the rights of poor and the wicked don't care at all.
And then, Bill, we're going to skip Matthew because Crystal just read that for us. Nolan, come here, read this one from James right here.
Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
Awesome. Thank you. Give them a hand, you guys. Yeah. Hey, can we get back to the sound booth for me? That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Other verses here that lay it out for us of our mandate to care for the poor, the people on the margins. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye. God bless you. Have a good day. Stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? And the answer would be nothing. It's like just you Christians just talk a good game, but what's the point? It says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. The book of 1 John chapter 3 says it this way. 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So, because of what Jesus did for us, we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. And guys, from the very beginning of our church, we've been a church now for about 20 years, we've been a church that says we're not just going to talk about it. We are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the gospel and that God loves us and he invites us into his family. We're also going to say the sign that your life has been impacted by God, the sign that you're impacted by God is that your life is going to impact other people. The resources and the material goods that God's put in your hands, You're going to recognize that you're a steward of these things. And God's going to say one of the key ways that you know, the people will know that you're my children is not just your talk, but it's going to be your actions. He's also going to tell us what Crystal just read for us, that if you really want to see God and experience God, he's going to tell us it's not just going to be just at church. It's not going to be just out there in nature. You see these beautiful, amazing sunsets or the wind and the waves or the cliffs or whatever it might be. Where you're going to see God is oftentimes where you least expect to see him. In places where that was Jesus over there in prison. That person looked gross and smelled gross and was, maybe a little weary and whatever. Yeah, he said it's going to people like, he said, orphans and widows. Kids in the foster care system. Single moms and dads. People who are in prison, he's going to say. People who are sick are in prison. You know who's in prison? Prisoners. You know why they're there? Usually because they were dumb or did something stupid or wrong. Now, once in a while, there's an innocent victim. But most of the time, people are in prison because of something they've done that's dumb or wrong. You guys missed it last night. It was awesome here. There's a lady at our church. Rebecca Winder is her name. Been coming to our church for a couple of years now. Her husband is right now in prison for some gnarly stuff, some gnarly, dumb, stupid, wrong stuff that he did. He has become a follower of Jesus Christ now in prison. She's become a follower of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful and amazing. Last night, we got to baptize her right over there in that water, and we live-streamed it into the prison. And her husband was able to watch that and see her get baptized here. He says, you want to see me? You're going to see me sometimes in people who've done stupid, wrong things, and God's changed their life. He says, go there and be present with them, even if they've done the dumb, stupid, wrong thing there. He's also going to tell us it's people who lack basic human necessities, people who don't have enough food and water. They don't have access to medical care. They don't have clothes, basic human necessities. And the people God says that I'm closest to in that are not just the adults out there. He said it's the children. Children who lack basic human necessities. Is my people will be people that are out there. And guys, this is not so much today as a mandate and a command as it is an invitation. Because it's a beautiful, amazing thing to see your life partner up with somebody and make a difference in their lives. And I want to tell you a story today about this little kid. You'll see around the room here these little placards, packets there with children's names on them. These are real children. These are not just put some cute kid up there to see if we can get people to buy into this, to real kids out there who lack basic human necessities. And it was a lot of years ago, I'm not sure how many it was, there was a church somewhere that had these there, and his little kid named David or Davy on that. I would love to tell you his story today, but I'm not going to tell you his story. I've invited David to come and tell us his story for us. So David, this is David. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name because I would murder it. But David, we're all yours.
Thank you.
Come get it. Awesome.
Man. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's Wangaka, not Wakanda. So I was born and raised in Kenya. We speak Swahili language. I just want to teach you a little bit of Swahili. Is that okay? So every time we go to church on a Sunday, we greet our brothers and sisters in Christ by saying, praise the Lord, and then they say, amen. Praise the Lord in Swahili, it's Bwana Asifiwe. So I'm going to say Bwana Asifiwe, you just say amen. I don't want you to tongue twist yourself, okay? So Bwana Asifiwe, amen. Amen, amen, thank you. So as I mentioned, I'm so grateful and so thankful for God for giving me the opportunity to be here today, and also for the leadership of this church and Pastor Steve and everyone that has invited me to come and just share what the Lord has done in my life through the program of Compassion International and share a little bit of my story. And I hope that it's going to lift your faith in God. So my mom used to take care of 5 children all by herself. I'm the last born in a family of 5. And she used to make less than $1 a day working in a small restaurant where she would come in the evening and she would bring some food at home from the restaurant. But unfortunately, she lost that job, so for some reason, she came up with this technology of making liquor at home, some kind of moonshine stuff. And it was very illegal because it was illicit brew, but she had no choice because she was trying to take care of the children. But unfortunately, every time, you know, she would go to jail a lot of time. And whenever she's in jail, she would bribe the police so that she's released. So it wasn't really helping or anything. And I remember growing up, like, not even having the opportunity to have decent meal. So most of the time we ate from dumpster. So we would go to the street, and that's where we would find something to eat. And there was so many other families that were doing the same. So growing up, I thought that's how life is supposed to be. It was just normal for me going to the street and eating from dumpster or just trying to survive. We lived in a 10 by 10 square feet. Actually, I went to Kenya recently and I took that photo. That's where I lived when I was growing up. It's just a very small house. Made of corrugated material. So we didn't have beds, so we slept on the ground, and we would use cardboards. We slept on cardboards. During the day, we would, during the night, we would, you know, spread the cardboards, and then six of us, or five of us, we would just sleep together. And then during the day, we would just roll the cardboard and use that as a living area. The house was so small that some of the dishes, utensils, we used to put them on the top of the roof because it couldn't fit. And so life was hard. I remember, you know, when you live in an extreme poverty, you live this life of rejection. You live a life, you know, poverty lies to you that you're useless. And you live with this inferior complex where you feel like you're worthless. And that's how life was for me. And the most impactful thing, negative impact about poverty is that lack of access to healthcare. I remember my mama getting very sick one time. And she was sick for a long time, but we had no idea because she didn't want to share that to us to break our hearts. And unfortunately, during those days, you had to prove or to provide proof to hospital that you'll be able to take care of the bill before you are admitted. So one of her friends took her to hospital. And by the time she got to hospital, it was too late. She waited for so long. She waited to be admitted to hospital. So the next day we received some very devastating news from her friend that she did not make it. And she passed away from a treatable disease that could have easily been treated if she was able to prove that she would be able to afford it. And it was at that time when our life fell apart. So one thing about living in extreme poverty, it's not about lack of food. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond clothes, food, basic stuff. It is lack of hope. And I remember we used to go to school, but we had all dropped out of school. And education was very important because education was one way of escaping from poverty. I remember when I was 9 years old, I was in the street. I became a street kid. We call them street children. It's like homeless children. Most of developing nations, if you've ever been out there in other developing, I call them not third world, but developing countries, you will realize, you will see a lot of children in the street or families that live in the street, and because there is no government programs that takes care of that. It's only non-profit organization like Compassion that comes in to take care of people living in extreme poverty. And so I was there. And one time I heard the gospel. Someone was preaching about God. Someone was preaching about we being the children of God. And I was curious about this God. And for some reason, God has given me so much grace. So I started praying. I'm 9 years old, very young, and I'm praying to God. I'm like, God, be my dad. And I will always follow you. I'm about to choke, so. And he's so faithful, amen? And it doesn't matter, sometimes whenever we go through things, he's always there with us. And sometimes, even here in the United States, you may not be in that extreme poverty, but you may be in things that you're going through. But I just want to encourage you, like, to just trust in God, because he's real. And he listened to me. And I remember one time I'm just walking on this road. It was just dirt road, off-road. And I started praying because I was starving. I was so hungry. I had not eaten for like 2 days. And I started praying to God. I told God, God, remember we had a conversation the other day about you being my dad. And I want you to provide me with food. So this mental picture of the guys talking about God providing manna for children of Israel. And I'm like, I'm one of those children. So I started praying to God and asking God, God, provide this manna to me. And he had been talking about, oh, manna was bread. So it was like some kind of delicious food that I was waiting to come from heaven. So I'm walking, I'm waiting to see if something would fall from the sky. the children faith, it's almost like stupid faith, trusting in God so much that you expect him to do things that are not possible. Impossibility kind of stuff. And so I'm walking, nothing really happened, but there was a truck behind me that passed me. And when this truck passed me, and I'm still praying, I'm asking God, God, when is this manna coming down? And I'm like 9 years old, I'm so tiny. This truck used to supply bread in different kiosks. And when they passed me, because the road was rough, they dropped 5 or 6 loaves of bread. While I'm still praying, I'm collecting this bread. I'm asking, oh my, I did not expect you to answer this prayer this quickly. So I'm holding all these breads, and I'm like, oh, I've never eaten so many breads in my life, you know. And I went to the street. I shared with my, you know, with my friends in the street. But that started reminding me, God is with you. God is real. And then one time, a gentleman by the name Kenneth saw me in the street. He was a stranger. I've never seen Kenneth before. And he invited me. He was going to church. And he told me, would you like to come to church with me? So he invited me to come to church with him. And I joined him in church. So we are walking, and I'm telling him about my story. We got to the church. But I had no idea that that church used to partner with Compassion International. So one reason, I had no idea what compassion was, because there is no compassion sign anywhere. It's just the name of the church, Cross Point Church. So I got there, and there were like so many other children there. I really just wanted, I had longed to just be a child and run around and play. And there were so many children that had been sponsored, that were registered through the program of compassion, but they were very different from me because I had just come from the street. So one thing you realize with the pictures of all the children around here, they don't look like they are living in extreme poverty, because compassion protects the dignity of children. And I remember getting there, and they gave me some clothes, new clothes. They gave me shoes. Actually, I remember the shoes were like a bigger size than mine, but I didn't want to tell them because I didn't want them to take them back and tell me, oh, come next week, you will get... No, I was like, oh, I'm going to put paper or whatever to fit me. And so they took a picture of me, they made a packet of information about my life and myself. One of those was me in a packet. And a family in Oregon, Portland, picked that packet and decided to sponsor that child. Very good, like good-looking kid, smiling. That's my mom. Her name is Patricia. She has no biological children, so God, connected me with her. And with her little money that she had from her social security checks, she would make sure that I'm able to go to school, I'm able to get fed, I'm able to receive just the basic needs. And she would write to me, and she would tell me, David, I love you. And those are very powerful words, because even my mom, my biological mom, could not even say those words, because we were surviving, and she didn't want to be sentimental. But she would tell me, David, I love you, and I'm so glad that you're part of my life. And I have a picture of you on my refrigerator. I had no idea what the refrigerator was, but she compassion staff would explain to me, whenever they opened that refrigerator, they would pray for you. And I was able to graduate from college. I made sure that I didn't want to let her down. When you sponsor kids, these kids, it's such a miracle, actually, sponsoring a child. It's such a big deal that they work so hard. I worked so hard. I graduated from LSU with MBA. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Absolutely. You can clap for that. And the reason for that is because I was the first person in my whole entire family, from my mom and my dad's side, to ever graduate from high school, not even just college, from high school. And so that broke that chain of poverty, amen, social poverty. I remember going to church and my brothers and sisters coming to the same church. My dad, who was not in my life, started coming to that same church, and we were reconciled through the program. Amen. Through the program of compassion. Even though he passed away, but he knew Christ. Amen. He gave his life to Jesus, because I remember I was preaching in his funeral. That's how powerful it was. We reconciled together. My brothers and sisters started learning about entrepreneurship. Even though they never went to school, they had no opportunity for that like I did. But their children and their children will never see poverty, because they are all graduates. Amen? And that chain of spiritual poverty was broken. And I never knew that I would ever live to even have a family of my own. So the next generation, even in my family, will never see poverty again. Amen? Because someone decided, I'm going to sponsor this young man. And I have a family. I have four boys. Yes, there they are. So I have Shalom. Shalom means peace in Swahili. Amani. By the time I got to the third born, I couldn't figure out a cool name, so I called him David. And then I have Israel, the young one. These kids would have been born in extreme poverty if I would not have been in the situation where I am today. So they also sponsor kids, all of them. Each and every one of them has a child that they sponsor and write to. And so I just want to pray that today you're going to join me in joining God in his mission to make disciples. And each and every one of us today should have one or two children that we should sponsor today. Not out of obligation or anything, but out of the love of Christ. Amen? So let's not let all these kids stay here. These kids are waiting to hear that I have a picture of you on my refrigerator. Amen? God bless you. Amen. Yeah.
So guys, my experience with Compassion started years ago, and I would hear about these child sponsorship packets and see them at concerts, at churches. And those of you who know me at all know that my wife calls it cynical. I call it wise and skeptical. But I kind of thought, I didn't think it was like some scheme to get money from people. I just thought, people don't like to give money to a fund for poverty. It's like, well, what's the big poverty fund? But you put a name and a face to it. It's like, oh, dang, I would. So I thought it was kind of like that. Until then, I went to Ethiopia about 18 years ago, and in a little village in some remote place in the middle of nowhere, a little church there, probably maybe 300 square feet, up on the perimeter, up on the top, there was all these kid sponsorship packets with the names of the people in various countries in the world who had specifically sponsored them. And then it was 4 or 5 years ago that I decided it's time for us to jump into that. And you've seen the pictures already of the child that Denise and I sponsor right now, Marlon. And every year I get a new picture of him. This is the first picture back, I forget how long ago it was. He was like, I think, 8 years old there. He's getting older now. And you go, okay, they write to you. And I go, oh, sure. And then I actually got letters from him. This is the latest one I just got. He sent me a picture. You get a chance to even send an additional gift to buy birthday and Christmas presents for your child. And the last little thing I got, I can't find it anywhere. I don't know what I did with it. It's probably somewhere that I'll find after the service today. They took a picture of him with just a little thing saying thank you, with holding a little present, little thing that he was able to get. You guys, you'll build a relationship with this child. You can even do this on using your smartphone for something smart through their app, where you can actually send pictures of you guys that he won't tape to a refrigerator, but he will put up in a little on the little neck ball next to his, maybe next to his little cardboard bed, of a picture there. I've heard people that have gone there, walked into that home, and met their little child they sponsored, and there's their picture there in the house. Right now, guys, we as a church currently sponsor 160 Compassion Kids, about $400,000 over the last 3 or 4 years that we have given to alleviate poverty. But I love about Compassion is they're not just there to stop poverty. They're to stop poverty in Jesus' name. It does no good to give someone bread for life if we don't give them the bread for life. No, I got that opposite. I had it right the first 2 times. But to give them the bread of life, to give them eternal life. Compassion will not go to any village, any place where there's not some church organization there. Even if it's a small little church of 15, 20 people, they're not going to go there as a church there to tell these children and these families about who Jesus is. And right now, we are partnered up with Guatemala, with villages and cities in Guatemala. And the reason we do that is because someday we're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to take our cameras and we're going to see these children that we have been sponsoring. I'm hoping we can do that. We were planning to do it back in 2020, and then this little thing called COVID happened. Don't know if you heard about it or not. And it shut all that down. We're hoping to get there here in the next year or so, take a group of people down there to see these kids and be part of that. Now, if today you feel like, God, I want to sponsor some of these kids, but I have my heart set on Kenya or someplace in Asia or someplace in South America, wherever you want to do that, you're more than welcome to do that. But we want to do this to build a relationship there and eventually do other projects there in those cities and villages as a church as we develop these partnerships. The question that I want you to ask yourself today is, what's God asking me to do? What God's asking us to do? We did not show gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching videos. Compassion, I love about this, protects the dignity of these children, because they could have shown you the real pictures. The real pictures of the abject poverty. That we're going to protect the dignity of these children, not to manipulate you into this, because I could easily today manipulate your emotions, and you go, yeah, we're going to go all these kids and do it. You know what happens? In about 2 or 3 months, when the emotion wears off, so does the giving. So I want you to simply ask God, what are you calling us to do? What are you calling me to do today? I was talking to somebody today who said, you know what, after the service, he goes, you know, I have daughters in my family right now. We're going to adopt a son into our family. I was talking to a guy a little newer to our church. He talked about, you know, I want to get involved in this. And so here's what we're going to do. Our kids are going to sponsor kids, like David just talked to us about. And so he's going to sponsor kids, and then their kids are going to put some of their own money into this, and they're going to be partnered with and write letters to their particular child that they sponsored in Jesus' name to alleviate poverty and give this child hope and a future. And then what I loved last night, Travis, who just got up here and read for us, Travis sitting right back there, he's in seventh grade right now. His small group leader for our student ministries that happens on Tuesday nights, they got together and said, here's what we're going to do as a group. We're going to sponsor a seventh grade boy who's going to become part of our group, our small group here in Temecula. And we're going to give money to him, sponsor him. We're going to write letters to him, post things on the app back and forth. So I want to encourage you today, whatever God's calling you to do, would you just do that today? I'm going to give you a chance right now to get up and move around the room. Before you do that, here's the packet that you're going to see. Here's a little girl that Denise and I, we're already sponsoring one of these kids from years ago. Her name is Esmeralda. She's been waiting for 209 days for someone to sponsor her, to partner with her for $43 a month. That's about what, $1.05 a day, something like that, to, don't do the math on that. I was good in English, terrible in math. And the deal with this, guys, some of you have margins in your budget to be able to do this easily. Some of you will involve saying, all right, if we're going to do this, it might mean we go out to McDonald's one less time a month, because McDonald's costs you that right now, right? For a family, probably in one meal to do that. It might mean some sacrifice that God's going to call you to do today. Here's what you're going to do is you pick up these packets and pick this up. The easiest way to do it is use your smartphone, and you can scan the QR code right there that will take you to the sponsorship for this particular child. You can fill the stuff all out there through the QR code there. When you're done doing all that, you'll get a confirmation little screen that'll pop up. What you want to do then is take that confirmation screen and this little packet that you tear off the bottom of this and write QR on it, put it in the white envelope, and then back in the back at the high top tables back there, people that are wearing the compassion lanyards and wear the compassion shirts, you can show them this, the confirmation screen, and put the QR, just write QR code on this document here, on the card there, put it in the envelope, and just leave that there today. Some of you may know, I don't want to do the QR thing, it's too confusing. You can just fill out your information with here on the front with your banking information on there. We'll keep this very secure. Put that in the envelope as well and drop that off there at that center today, at that place today. We're going to give you a chance here for a few minutes to get up and move around the room to see who's the person or persons or children that we're going to sponsor today. Now, as you do that, a couple things. Don't leave when you're done, because we've still got more to do here. So get up, move around the room here when the music comes on, look at that, and then at some point I'll invite you all back to your seats to conclude our service with a time of worship and prayer and communion together. So the music's going to roll right now. There it is. That's your cue. Get up, move around, take a look, and just do whatever it is that God calls you to do today.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more resources, check out gotocrosspoint.com.